Some time ago, I printed an article that I entitled Assembly Required. And when you go out and you buy these certain types of furniture at Walmart, Kmart, sometimes even lawnmowers or bicycles, assembly is required. You can't use them until you go through the sometimes painstaking process of assembling these products. So I began to think about that one passage that many people have said is one of the most ignored commands in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Well, the Hebrew writer said, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. It's the manner of some, it's the custom of some, it's the habit of some to forsake the assemblies. Now, we've all known down through the years that there are people that we suspect are forsaking assemblies from time to time. And you have to really think about what that word forsake means. Now, how do we define that? I mean, if I'm deathly ill and no way I can get out, and so I don't go to services when the church meets at this particular time, have I forsaken the assembly, or have I simply missed the assembly because I was sick? And so you see, we deal with a God of love and a God of mercy. And he understands that there are times when it's physically impossible for us to be here. But then there's a lot of things that we keep pushing over into that forsaking, don't we? I mean, I'm physically not able to be there this morning because I have to watch this television program that I like. I'm physically unable to be there this morning or tonight or Wednesday night because I have to do this or I have to do that. Years ago, there was an older lady who would not come to Sunday night services in the winter, and she never came to a Wednesday night service, and her reason was this: I can't see to drive at night. And here we are, every member of that church owning a vehicle, some of them a couple of vehicles, a lot of good eyes. And so I offered, I said, "Well, why don't you let me come pay?" "Oh, no, no, I don't want you to bother with that." "Well, then is it really your inability to see to drive at night that's keeping you out of services?" Because I could swing by and pick you up. And finally she agreed, and I began to swing by and pick her up every service. It got to where I was even picking her up for the Sunday morning services. Then one of the deacons took, or one of the elders rather, took over. He began to pick her up, but she was at every service from then on. So you see, sometimes we make up reasons that really shouldn't be reasons at all. And the church has assembled God's people, the body that Christ shed his blood for, are here worshiping, and we're at home for some silly reason that we've slid into that slot of a real valid excuse. And some people ought to be ashamed of themselves for such behavior. And without repentance, you'll answer for it someday. In the text here that was read for us a few moments ago, the once-for-all sacrifice which Christ made established the new covenant between God and man. So there's a covenant there between God and man. And through this covenant, we have purity before God. And so therefore, we have the boldness to approach his throne through the blood of Christ to a new and living way. We also have the great high priest, Jesus, the Christ, who is over the house of God, the head of the church. Based upon these things which we have, the writer urges us to do really three things. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast. And let us consider one another. Do you ever think about that when you're not at services and you could be, that that's inconsiderate to the rest of the church? You ever think about the preacher and how discouraging it is when he stands up here on Sunday morning and looks out and sees 50 people, and then on Sunday night he looks out and might see 30 if it's a good Sunday night? And then we might have 25 or 30 on Wednesday night if it's a good one. You know, I've complimented the assembly of this church, and I've complimented the numbers, and the average attendance has went up somewhat, especially over the last year, especially the Wednesday evening service and the Sunday evening service. But there's still a lot of faces I just don't see, and I wonder. And sometimes I'll call folks and ask them about it, and they seem offended. Don't you know that we don't come on Wednesday nights? And I wonder, how come? Not that important to you? Better things to do? Church, Wednesday night assembly just don't matter? One lady told me one time, I just don't like sitting through the adult Bible class because they just argue. I think sometimes we sit down and take a good close look at ourselves that we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. If you can't get there and your ride ain't there, you call my number. You'll have a ride to services. Guarantee it. If I have to come get you myself, if I can't find somebody else, you'll have a ride to services. Brethren, this is not a game that we're playing. This is a real God that we serve. This is a real God who will judge us. This is a real God who the Bible says is a consuming fire. This is a real God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood for us. For us to just brush off a service because we got something better to go. I just can't get there. Maybe with a little effort, we could have really gotten there. We need to be here for services. And I don't mean just the Sunday morning services. Whoever it was years ago that went around and made popular this idea that as long as you're at Sunday morning services and fulfill the command to partake of the Lord's Supper and give, you've really done just about all you have to do. I've argued with elders in Lord's churches before about the necessity of attending on Wednesday evening. That new service doesn't really matter. It's not really that important. Yes, it is. If this church has sat down and decided that this church is going to meet every Wednesday evening, if you're a member of this church, you need to do everything you possibly can to be there at that service. Because that is an, guess what, assembly of the saints. People have argued down through the years from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Well, which assembly is that talking about? What it tells us, doesn't it? The assembling of ourselves together. Assembly of the saints. That's which assembly it's talking about. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so you see why this may very possibly be one of the most neglected commandments in the Bible. And so I want us to consider in the title Assembly Required, the decision of attendance. And three things about that decision of attending. Number one, it is a subservient decision. It's an obedient decision. You see, we are servants of God. Many Bible writers, Paul, when he would write, would often say in an introduction to his epistles, I'm a bondservant of Christ, Romans 1:1, Titus 1:1. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, referred to himself as a bondservant of Christ. Jude, in his epistle, in Jude chapter 1 and verse 1, refers to himself as a bondservant of Christ. James, in James chapter 1 and verse 1, refers to himself as a bondservant. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, Paul mentions servants there and the fact that we are servants of Christ. John, when he penned the book of Revelation in John chapter 1 verse 1, said that the angel signified these things to him, to his servant John. And so you see, if we're Christians, if we become obedient to the gospel, we are servants of Jesus Christ. We are servants of God. What do servants do? They do what they're told to do. What happens when they don't do what they're told to do? There's going to be some sort of punishment. Either you're fired, you're dismissed, or if you're a purchased servant or slave, you're sold off, or beaten or flogged. There's all kinds of things. But the concept is a servant is to obey the commands of his master, and when he doesn't, the consequences can be very serious and uncomfortable. Jesus was a servant, Philippians 2:5. He came as a man, the form of a servant. Matter of fact, he said, I came not to be served, but to serve, right? Hebrews 5:8 and 9, he became obedient to the Father. James, or Philippians 2 also talks about his obedience to the Father, even to the point of death, the death of the cross. Jesus set the perfect example to be obedient to the Father. Well, we have here a command to obey. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Yeah, there's some doing that. Even today, in our day and age, there are people who are forsaking the assembling of the saints. And that's a shame. We must obey God in this matter of attendance. Why? Because it's a command, we have to do it? No. That's where this argument comes from. It seems ridiculous to me that you have to argue with people about having to come to services on a Sunday night or Wednesday night. Or Sunday morning Bible class. A lot of people just skip that. I must not be that important. We ought to not have to argue about it and pull teeth and try to get people here. They just should just want to come. Because we love God. Right? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 said, this is the love of God, and then read on, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. I mean, how burdensome really is it to sacrifice some other event in our life to come to services? I mean, there are people in this world who are Christians who are making a lot greater sacrifices to get to services. A friend of mine years ago who travels all around was in some country where it was against the law for Christians to meet and to assemble. And they didn't have a stationary place where they met. They didn't even have stationary times. That would be decided at the next meeting where we're going to meet. They had to be kind of a secret about that, because if they got caught, they could go to jail or lose their lives. And he said that at the end of every service, they would sing the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, and tears would run down their eyes, because they didn't know if somebody wasn't going to be there next time, if they'd been caught or found out. Those people were literally risking their lives to go to worship services. I'm going to tell you what, you can think of all the excuses you want to not have been here Sunday night, but one that would rank right up there on my list is my neck. Well, I couldn't make it Sunday night because, well, I could have been killed. Oh, well, I understand that. And we have our petty reasons why we don't come, why we're not here every service. He said one older lady come up to him and said, you know, is it really true, I've been hearing that you have problems in a lot of the churches in America with getting people to the assembly? He said, yeah, I'm afraid that is true in some places. There's some problems with that. She said, I just can't fathom that. That just didn't even compute with her. That they have all the freedom in the world to come out and to worship the Lord, and they don't. But we ought to be here because we love God. Because we want Jesus to save us. Hebrews 5:8 and 9. He became obedient as a son so that he may be the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Well, here's a commandment to obey. Hebrews 10:25. Well, to come because we want the church to function as God desired it to function. Hebrews 13:17 talks about the oversight of the elders when they're elders in place, looking out for the flock and caring for the flock. The decision of attendance. It's a subservient decision. Number two, it is a sustained decision. I want to remind us all that we made a commitment when we put the Lord on in baptism. We made a commitment to the Lord. Over in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Luke 14, beginning in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now look, that's a high level of commitment there. Matthew, in his account, uses the word, whoever, or the phrase, theology, whoever loves father, mother, brother, sister, so forth, more than me is not worthy of me. Luke, it really adds strong emphasis to this idea by saying, he who does not hate father and mother. Now, God is not teaching us that we're supposed to hate our father and mother, but the idea is to love less. In other words, we love God more than my father, my mother. We love God more, and his commandments we love more. And this is the love of God, remember, that we keep his commandments. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 13, when Paul there is talking about the fact that we're baptized into Christ, into his death. We're raised up to walk a newness of life, a new life of commitment. And he goes on in the following verses in Romans 6, 3 to 13, to emphasize and to extrapolate more upon this idea of the committed life that we have in Christ. The old man's dead. Now we have a new life, a committed life, a life where God is number one and Jesus is Lord of all. Years ago, I read a statement some preacher made. It says, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You can't make Jesus partial Lord of your life. He has to be Lord of all, or he's not really your Lord at all. Not really. You're just playing religion. Playing at it. People rationalize not being faithful to all the services, and they'll say, well, I do all these other things in my personal life. Preacher, you just don't understand what all I'm doing for people. I do all this for people, and I do all that for people. And that's very commendable. And Christians are called upon to do that and to be full of good works, but not to the neglect of other commands. We make up for it. Somehow it's supposed to be a balancing out thing in religion, and we keep up with our lives as an accounting book. And, well, I'm not going to go to services Sunday night or Wednesday night, but I'm going to do all these other things, you see. Jesus would say you ought to have done one without leaving the other undone. Jesus never said you can do all these things, fulfill all these commandments, and if you do them real good, you don't have to worry about this commandment over here. That's not the Christian religion. That's our own minds. Trying to place salve upon our consciences for not doing what God said to do. And it's a shame that we get into that. I mean, the Bible talks in Romans 12, 1 to 2 about the idea that we're are to offer our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. That speaks of high commitment. And we must face the consequences if we violate this commitment. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. If you're still in the book of Luke, take a look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus said to them, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We've made a commitment. Remember Peter in 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22 talks about those who have escaped the pollutions of the world and then went back into it. And he gave the illustration, it's like a sow returning to the mire after you clean it up real good, just jumps back in the mud and wallows around. Or even more grotesque is the idea of a dog after it vomits, it turns right around and licks up that poison that just made him sick. Just licks it back up again. He said that's kind of like it is when a Christian is not fully committed or even turns completely away from the Lord. Now I said it's a sustained decision. Because of the commitment we have. You know, when I became a Christian, you know what I committed to? I committed to keeping God's commands, including not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And in the course of my life, there's going to be all kinds of other commitments come up. This commitment comes up, that commitment comes up, this commitment comes up, that commitment comes up. And then I've made this commitment for this on this, and then all of a sudden we're having a gospel meeting. Now what do? I've already committed to this. Well, I committed to something else long before I committed that. I committed myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be faithful to him. You see that? You want to talk about commitments, trumping commitments, and trumping commitments? Let's go back to the commitment. That God will be first in my life, and Jesus Christ will be Lord of my life. And if that means backing out on some other commitment, then that's the way it is. But I'm putting God first in my life. We play that game, though. We rationalize. And in our minds, we make it right. And then there are other things that interfere with this sustained commitment that we have of fulfilling the commands of God, particularly the commandment we're talking about this morning, the idea of not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. There are other things like sporting events. Now, I'm not a big fan of sports. Some of them I am, but there are others who are, and that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with sports and being a fan of sports. There's no sin in that. The sin comes when we allow it to trump our commitment to Christ. And we allow sporting events to be more important and come before my commitment to this church right here and to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's more important. There's a guy who wrote something about this. I thought it was interesting when you think about a lot of the excuses people use for not coming to services. And he talked about football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring and summer. And this avid sports fan, just an avid sports fan, and finally he said, I've had it, I quit. I'm never going to a sporting event again. And I'll tell you why I'm not going, he said. This is why I'll never go to another sporting event, because every time I went, they asked me for money. I had to pay to get in. And the people with whom I had to sit didn't seem very friendly. And the seats were too hard and not at all comfortable at the game, so I'm not going back. And I went to many games, but the coach never came to call on me. Never had the coach visit me. The referee made a decision that I didn't agree with, so I ain't going back to the game. I've had it with sports. I suspected I was sitting with some hypocrites at the last game I went to, and so I've done with sporting events. I suspect there's some people there because they just want to see their friends and see what they're wearing to the game. So I'm not going to a football game anymore. I'm done with it. Some of the games went into overtime and I was getting home too late. So I'm finished. Finished with those games. The band played some songs I didn't know. So I'm done with it. Not really interested anymore in it. It seems that they're beginning to schedule games when there's other things I want to do during times when I have other commitments and other things I want to do. So I'm done with sports. Not going to any more games. I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was growing up, so I kind of got burned out on it. I don't want to take my children to any games because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. You don't hear people making those excuses to miss games, do you? You see people turning the world upside down and making that priority. Number one, I'm going to beat that game. And everything else is going to have to be reshuffled, rescheduled, re-whatever. There's a man who wrote a little thing called a 50-year-old decision. He said, people do not accidentally attend worship services without missing one worship service for 20 years. They must have planned always to attend. So after I obeyed the gospel, he said, I read an older brother who had not missed a single worship service in 41 years. Can you imagine? And that story caused me to resolve and to purpose in my heart that I would never miss the worship of a single service as long as I lived. And as long as it was possible for me to attend. He said, I have missed 4 Sundays in over 50 years, and this was because of illness. And then he went on to say this, once I made that decision, the question has not come up as to whether I would attend church services or not. In fact, I did not decide last Lord's Day to go to worship, nor the Sunday before. That decision was made 50 years ago. When I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I I don't decide every week whether I'm going to go to service this Sunday morning or whether something else is coming up or whether I'm going to be at service this Wednesday night or Sunday night or something else has come up. I don't have to make that decision every week, he says. I made that decision when I obeyed the gospel. That when the church assembles, that's where I'm going to be. That's a good point. It's a good point. The decision to assemble is a subservient decision. The decision to assemble is a sustained decision. It's one we made a long time ago. And then finally, the decision to assemble is a spiritual decision. It's not an earthly decision. I mean, why are we here? Why do we assemble? Oh, that's where my family goes. Well, I like the preacher. I like that one, by the way. It's one of my favorites. I like the preacher. Or it's something to do. Good place to socialize. I like to go to catch up on the latest gossip. Or to see what everybody's wearing. Or I like to go for whatever other reason. No, it's not a material decision. It's a spiritual decision. You see, when it's a material decision, then it's real easy to find something better to do when something else comes up and church services get the back burner. It has to be a spiritual decision. I've shared with you the story about the man. He's in there in bed sleeping on a Sunday morning. His mom's beating on the door. Get up, son. You've got to go to services. Sunday morning. He said, I don't want to go to services. Why not? He said, because the people are just there to gossip. He said, they're just in a big fashion show. The sermons are boring and long. The singing's awful. And I just ain't going. And she said, you've got to go. You're the preacher. People can get burnt out. They get fed up with it. And they begin to make excuses not to go to services and not to put God number one today. God's number one in my life, but not today. There's something else that I have to do. We go to services because we want to put first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. That's a serious passage. It's there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm there because I want to worship God in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. John 4 and verse 24. I'm there because I want to edify the saints. Hebrews 3:13 actually tells us to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Well, the services is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Remember the command in Hebrews 10:25 to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? The very verse before that, verse 24, says, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You do that through the assembly. Your presence or your absence in that pew has an effect upon me and every other brother and sister here. And we're concerned about you. Maybe something wrong. I'm going because I want to sing praises to God, Colossians 3:16, and worship the Lord in spiritual psalms and hymns and to edify my brethren through that. That's why I'm going. I'm going because I like to render prayers to the Father as a church. I'd like they did in Acts 12 for Peter, a prayer which was very effective. 1 Timothy 2, 1-8, the men lifting up holy hands in prayer. I'm there because I want to partake of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-29, because I want to remember what the Lord has done for me. He's done so much for me, and I've done so little for him. I want to be there. I don't want to miss that. I want to be there to be able to give and to support the greatest cause on the face of the earth, ever, the work of the church, 1 Corinthians 16, 1-2. I want to be there because I desire to study more of God's Word. And I want to learn more. Those teachers and preachers and so forth that Christ has set up in the church, Ephesians 4 verse 11 and forward, are there to keep me from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, to help me grow up and to be more perfect in Christ and more perfect in knowledge. I don't want to miss out on that. So I want to make sure I'm there during the Bible class time, because I know there's some good Bible teaching. I know that the teacher has studied hard and put a lot of work into the material so that he can teach me effectively. And I want to be a part of that, because there's something he can teach me about Christ, and something that I can learn, and something that will draw me closer to God. And I want to be there for that. I don't want to miss that. That's important to me. I think if some of us look back at our track record, and I just wonder if there's some Christians who, if they had the same track record at work that they had at church, if their boss wouldn't have fired them years ago. Hit and miss attendance. Just don't show up at work, no call, no whatever. Most jobs I've ever known, you do that one time and you're out the door. See ya. Is it a sin to not attend all the services? I mean, I got Sunday morning in. But is it a sin to not attend all of them? I don't know. Is it a sin to disregard one of Christ's commands? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I don't know. Is it a sin to ignore the needs of the church? I don't know. Is it a sin to be disobedient to God? I don't know. Is it a sin not to seek first the kingdom of God? Matthew 6:33. I don't know. You answer that question. Is it a sin not to attend all the assemblies that I can attend? What about when you're traveling out of town and on vacation? Well, you show faithfulness to this church by assembling with a faithful church wherever you go. I tell people, when I assemble with a faithful church when I'm out of town, I'm doing that to show faithfulness to this church and to the Lord. Because this church is assembled and they're wondering where I am and where are you and how come you're not here? Well, I was out of town on vacation, but I'm assembling with the saints there. Okay, well, that's a good reason. A lot of people, when they go on vacation, they take a vacation from everything, including God. Assembly required, brethren. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to be faithful to the Lord, if we want to be true servants of Jesus Christ, assembly required. It's not a choice. And it's not that you have to be here. It should be that you want to be here. And that we want to be a part of this. I preached for several different churches over the years, and there's a couple of churches in my life. And I particularly commend the church that I was at in Somerset, Kentucky. I was there for 2 years. And did you know that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, their attendance posting was identical? And it was rare that one of them was even sick, in a way, sick. That whoever was there Sunday night was always there Sunday evening and was always there Wednesday evening. That it was the same every service. You have no idea how encouraging that was. And there were some older folks there that couldn't see to drive at night. They got a ride. They got a ride from somebody. And that's the concept. That's the idea. That's encouraging. That's the way we should be. This has not been an easy sermon to preach, and it's certainly not an easy sermon to listen to, but occasionally we have to have sermons that call us back and make us take a closer look at ourselves and how are we doing and what are we doing. But I'm here to remind myself and to remind you all, and I'd be failing as my responsibility for a preacher if I didn't remind us all that Jesus comes first. He's first in our lives. He's first over everything. And I want to go to heaven, and I want us all to go to heaven. And I want to commend this church again, because the attendance here has only gotten better. Like I said, especially over the last year, it's really gotten better. But I also want to say it can always be even better. And our attendance on Sunday nights and our attendance on Wednesday nights, they have gotten a lot better. But they can be even better. Let's make sure that if we're not going to be in worship services, that it's not just some reason we've come up with to soothe our conscience. Let's make sure that it really is a good reason for not being there. Because a lot of the reasons people offer are not good reasons at all. So I just call upon us to be careful, to be sure, watch out. Watch out for the devil. He's very sharp and he's very deceptive, and he'll make you believe that you're doing right when you're really doing wrong. Assembly required. This decision of attendance, it's a subservient decision because we're servants of the Lord. It is a sustained decision. It's not a decision we make for every service. We made that decision when we gave our lives to Christ through baptism. And I'm going to keep his commandments, including not forsaking the assembly. And it is a spiritual decision. We come here for spiritual edification, not for the gossip and the fashion show and all those things. Let's pray.